Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. It comes every week by email on Sunday to get you revved up for the week ahead. Karen Post is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's a good friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She is one of our top branding experts and the author of the upcoming book, Brain Tattoo. Karen,
That's
welcome
right.
back to the show.
Thanks so much, Jim. Good to be here.
It's good to have you back, as always. And Karen, I know you want to talk about rebranding today, how to rebrand our businesses and if it's a good idea to do that. And there are people out there listening right now, Karen, who are saying, well, what about me? I just want to brand. I haven't branded yet. How can I rebrand? Well, I think a lot of people are in that category that what I just said, if that's what they're thinking, they're wrong, because if they're already in business,
they already have a brand.
The deal is they just haven't been in control of it.
That's right. Yeah.
If they think that what I just said, then they're branded. So it is time for them to rebrand, isn't it?
Right. If you've got a name and an operating business, you have got a brand. Every business entity has a natural brand that just happens by the way you conduct business, by the way you communicate, by the things that you do. Now, the question is all of that what you want it to look like, or is it something different? And so I think it's always a good time annually to assess your brand and to ask yourself some hard questions about your brand and does it need some enrichment or enhancement or some new attention, or does it need a completely revamp and a really big effort?
If it does need a big effort, as you said, completely revamping, it might be because you've waited too long to do maintenance on your brand.
That's right. Or you may suddenly have a new competitor that is doing things that look just like you think they should look. And if you took one of your ads or one of your product packages and you covered up the logo, would the market be totally confused and not know that it was you or your competitor?
Mm-hmm.
That's always a good litmus test, is how do you stand up against your competition and do you stand out? And if you don't stand out, that's one of the most important things about branding, is to make sure that you have a strong point of difference.
Well, okay, so how do we do this? Tell us how, help us.
Okay, well, we all know that the brand is four pieces. It's the purpose, why you're here, why you are here. It's your point of difference. It's your personality, just like a human attributes, and it's the promise that you make to your market. So the first thing I recommend folks do is how do you stack up against your competitors? Then write down your ideal brand, what you would like the market to think about you when they see your business card, when they see your truck, when they see your product. And how you can do that, there's a few ways. And for smaller companies who may not have huge budgets for marketing research, you can be aggressive and find out what the market thinks about you. Just ask your clients, create some sort of a questionnaire or a form, and then award them maybe some product or a gift certificate at a restaurant, and then do the same thing with prospects. Pick 100 prospects that you'd like to do business with and ask them what they think about you. Ask them to give you some words that describe your brand.
So this is kind of like me walking down the street asking strangers if they think I'm handsome or not. Is that what
that's
you're saying?
Right. That's right.
That hurts. I'm thinking that might be setting myself up for a little pain there, Karen.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes pain is part of the process. It's an awareness that is really important in the branding process.
No pain, no gain, huh?
Right, and if budget is a problem, many times you can go to a local university and get a marketing student and have them, you know, create the questions and do a little grassroots research that can be very cost effective. And then also you want to check with the media and see how they perceive you. And then the fourth piece is your employees, because your employees are the ambassador of your brand. And if they don't get it, then you've got definitely some work to do.
So we need to do we're talking about an audit here, right?
That's right.
And it's our customers, potential prospects.
Right. The media.
And our employees. Internal customers.
Correct.
All right. Now that's really important. But are we the best people to conduct this research?
Your input is important, because you obviously are closest to your business goals and where you want to see your company. But it really needs to be a collaboration of some of the key members of your management team and possibly some outside people that know nothing about your business but that understand your marketplace.
So, all right, how would we do this with our customers? So we would give them a little questionnaire,
right?
and say, okay, we'd like for you to take this home and fill it out and mail it back to us, but you know, don't sign it. We don't want to know who you are. We just want your comment. Because you want them to give you the unvarnished truth, don't you?
That's right. And you want them to know that you're doing this so that your company can better serve their needs. And most people, you know, if they're doing business with you, they want you to continue to improve your offering, and they're not going to have a problem with it. And then especially if you offer some sort of reward, and, you know, maybe it's a gift to them, maybe it's a donation to their favorite charity. You know, it can be a variety of things.
Mm-hmm.
But then beyond the research, you want to make sure that your brand story is current and relevant, because many times I work with companies that are 20, 25 years old, and when they started, they had a certain brand in mind and a set of brand communication tools, a logo, tagline, packaging, look and feel of their organization. And then 20 years later, they look really out of date because technology has mm-hmm. changed, the market has changed. So
The world has changed.
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, you just need to freshen up your brand. It can, you know, be 70% the same and then a 30% little updating, which
Karen,
can be huge.
But Karen, isn't that even something that we need to ask our customers, those four, maybe not the press and maybe not so much the prospects, but shouldn't the customers, the employees, I mean, don't even little adjustments, shouldn't we ask them if what they think about those?
Absolutely. But you also need to understand that sometimes you will get some resistance from change, because as humans,
right,
you know, change sometimes is there's a fine line.
Not me, Karen. I love change. I like it when people come in and throw me curveballs. I love change.
Good.
Yeah, right. 20 after. We're going to be right back with our good friend Karen Post. She's our branding expert. She's the author of the upcoming book, Brain Tattoo. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us. Karen Post is our guest. She's the author of the upcoming book, Brain Tattoo. Karen, now, when is this wonderful book going to be coming out?
It's coming out in November.
All right.
American Management Association is doing a great job of putting it all together, and I'm real excited.
AMICOM, they do good work. We do it. We know a lot of their authors, and now you've explained to them that you have to launch your book on my show, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we'll look forward to that in November. And give us your website.
My website is brandingdiva.com.
Now, can we still get your newsletter?
You sure can. And you can also get a Brand Bite, which is a quick branding tip that comes out once a month, and it's fast, easy to digest, and low carbs.
I like that. How do we do that?
You just go to the website, and you sign up one time, and you get both publications.
Brandingdiva.com. All right. Check that out when you get a chance, folks. Okay. Karen, talk to us about... All right, so you've got our attention. We do think maybe we need to dust off our brand a little bit and take a look at it, but we'd like to make sure that we know what we're in for. So tell us the good, the bad, and the ugly in
rebranding.
Okay,
well, you know, you need to be realistic about the situation and understand that it will take resources to do a rebrand. No matter how creative you are, it is going to take some hard cash. going to take time and it's going to take commitment. And many times when people try to do a rebrand, they get resistance from their employees and from their customers because people don't like change. But after you do your research, if you believe in your heart and you just have done your homework, a lot of times, you know, you're going to have a little uncomfortable zone for a bit, but you need to move ahead and understand and believe that you're doing the right thing.
Karen, before you go any further, take about a half a minute and give us a specific example of what a rebrand might look like. I mean, just one or two pieces of that puzzle.
Okay, a rebrand may include repositioning of a company. Maybe for years you were known for doing one thing in the marketplace, and because of technology changes or market changes or whatever, now you do something else, so your story has changed. So that could be a part of your rebranding.
Or you've added a product line. For example, let's say that you're a heating and air conditioning company, and you decide that you want to start doing some custom. If you're a heating and air conditioning company, you've got a lot of people who are good with sheet metal, and
right.
You decided to add a line of custom copper work where you're doing this copper trim around houses, and so that's another element of your business, something brand new. Would that be an example?
Absolutely. So your promise has expanded,
right.
And so that can be a big part of your rebranding. But then once you change your story, then you've got to make sure that your communication tools are telling the market that. So that may be mm-hmm. your logo, your tagline, what your website looks like, what your marketing material looks like, what your attitude about your company. Maybe you bring in a top, very progressive, innovative, super smart team of people, and now you've got all this added intelligence, so that's a different piece personality to your brand.
Right.
And so you just got to make sure that whatever changes you decide to do, that you support it with strong, frequent, and relevant communication.
All right. Okay, so now when you say that it's going to take some hard cash, that could be $100 or it could be $10,000, right?
That's right, but then you also have to look at the investment versus the benefit. So say you have to spend $50,000 on this
Whoa,
redo.
That's a lot of money for a small business, Karen.
It sure is, but if you really hit a big home run with this new brand and it's
right.
something that's compelling and different, you know, you may be able to generate $500,000 worth of free publicity
mm-hmm.
by doing this change. That, you know, so that benefit would certainly be wise.
But I don't want people to think that it has to approach that amount, though.
No.
Because
I know you don't mean to say that
because it could be $500.
Absolutely.
At least the first little baby step in this rebranding.
It could be changing the language on your website, on the way you write your cover letters, on your proposals, on
right.
just the attitude. You could have a big employee retreat where you go through all of this information and they are the voice of your brand
mm-hmm.
and everything that you do has to do with that, and there's no external changes
yeah.
other
it's
than your team.
It's just the way the team starts talking to customers now.
Correct.
And that could cost you, a couple of buckets of fried chicken or something.
That's right.
And a half a day
pizzas.
Off on Saturday.
That's right. But the important thing is once you've determined you need to make some changes, then you need to invest the time and plan it out. Ask the hard questions. Be the devil's advocate. Think through what your goals are, how you're going to get there. Then you've got to do it. A lot of times people come up with a new brand, and then they don't really do it. Or then they don't follow up with it with consistency, or they don't then tell their market that they've done it. You know, you
right.
might even invest in a new logo, and then, you know, you do nothing to let the market know. You don't send out any news releases, any announcements to your clients. You know, so that's really important. Plan it, do it, and then let the market know what you're doing consistently and with frequency. Because, you know, as humans, we're assaulted with so much information. A lot of times it takes 7 or 10 times before
right.
we even start to get the message.
Consistency and repetitiveness. You got to have that in there. That's
Karen right.
Post, what a great job today. Thank you very much for helping us rebrand. We'll see you next time. Karen Post, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget brandingdiva.com. Quick break, right back with Sam Norwood. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot, 29 after.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.